it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Having a great time here on the first day of Titans training camp. Earlier today, you heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium addressing the media. DeAndre Hopkins talked to the media for the first time an hour ago. We'll circle back to that in a little bit. Just hit that pretty hard in the last hour with Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, Derek Mason. My name is Willie Donna. Caroline is off today. She'll be back with us a little bit later in the show. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, of course, brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-899-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. So let's go around the league a little bit, D-Mace. I was looking at a good article from The Athletic where each beat writer basically put out a topic for the biggest question facing teams around the league. So, you know, it's interesting. When you look at the predictions, I saw one this morning, and we're going to keep tabs on how many people pick the Titans to win the AFC South. I'm going to guess that there will be less than three that I see. Now, maybe there's a couple of people going their own way to be rebels, but as expected, the one I saw this morning had the Jaguars winning it, and that's not surprising at all. So let's move by DeAndre Hopkins. I think everybody here is optimistic. Hope is always at its highest when training camp starts, and I think they do have a legit shot. But everybody's got questions around the league, and one I want to hit you on is the Ravens, because Todd Monken, who has been at Georgia orchestrating and architecting championship teams with a loaded Georgia Bulldog squad, back-to-back national titles, as we know, he's now going over to run the Ravens offense, and you had all of that drama with Lamar Jackson in the offseason. How do you think it's going to work?
I don't know, but it seems like, from what I'm hearing, everyone's excited. I went up there a few weeks ago and, got a chance to talk to Harbs and you know, some of the guys and Ozzy, and it seems like everyone's enthusiastic about what can potentially, what this team, can potentially be. As well as, you know, DaCosta, spoke with him briefly. So this team, I think for years, Willie, this team has been sort of hamstrung with their offensive coordinator. He was great for a few years, but once teams started figuring it out, it made it very difficult. And they never could get consistent play from the wide receivers. Everything was ran through the running back and Andrews. And after a while, teams figured out and make it very difficult for you to run your offense. And we've seen it in the playoffs. Hence, they only won one playoff game. But with Monken coming in, I think getting Zay Flowers, drafting Zay Flowers, bringing OBJ in, having, you know, Rashad Bateman, I believe he's back to camp. He's still not practicing. So they believe that they have a good group of wide receivers. You know, they got a really good back in J.K. Dobbins. The offensive line is pretty good. So they believe that this is the year that, you know, you will see Lamar start to take off. If you thought he was really, really good to great prior to this new offense, then like Batman said, or like Joker said, what did he say? Wait till they get a load of me. That's basically how Ravens feel about Todd Monken and his new offense with these new players. And from a defensive standpoint, they're always going to field a good defense, a defense that is able to, you know, win them ball games. That's one thing that both the Ravens and the Titans are built on is their defense. So I know they have a lot of high expectations. It's coming out that Zay Flowers is head and shoulders, he's having the best camp thus far at the wide receiver position. So I know they're hoping for big things. But that, just like the AFC West, it's loaded, you know?
Yeah, there's no bad team.
Exactly.
You can make an argument for really all four of the teams as sleepers, maybe a little stretch on the Browns, but you know the Steelers are usually solid, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then we know the Bengals are a heavyweight. But I really think the Ravens are going to be a team to watch because it could go a number of different ways. There are some people that thought Lamar Jackson really didn't push it. He knew the contract thing was looming. It was a cloud. And so now that it's resolved, I think a lot of people are curious how he's going to react. Is he going to even just cut loose a little bit more? Is he going to have maybe his best year? But there's a lot of X factors that you just sort of pointed out. So you think you would buy stock in Lamar and the Ravens this year?
Absolutely. I think they're going to cater more to what he does, spread him out, allow him to take his pick with three and four wide receivers. I think you'll see a lot of three wide receiver sets and then using Andrews, detached from the line of scrimmage, and that could be their fourth wide receiver because he's essentially a hybrid wide receiver in his own right. So I think you're going to see a lot of different things and them giving Lamar the ability to open up his game some. Is he going to be perfect? I don't think so. But I think this team believes that, with the new offensive coordinator, some new receivers – this offensive line, that they will be, they can go toe-to-toe with a team like Cincinnati, who we all know they're very explosive on offense. So they believe they have a team that can go toe-to-toe with Cincinnati from an offensive standpoint.
A lot was made of the comparison of Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins. And, of course, he set the market. The Ravens went out as almost an act of good faith to go grab Odell, and they paid him a certain amount, and DeAndre Hopkins, I think, used that as some bargaining benchmarks there as he negotiated with the Titans. So what kind of year do you think Beckham will have? There's an interesting article in The Athletic right now about all sort of the soul-searching that Odell Beckham Jr. did in the offseason. He considered retirement at one point after that knee injury that he had in the Super Bowl, but now he's back. He's getting paid, and a lot of people from a fantasy aspect will probably wonder who's going to be more productive, Odell or D-Hop?
Well, they're two different receivers. Anybody that looks at them and sort of, try to compare them, you really don't know what you're looking at because these two guys are far different from one another. One plays at a different pace than the other. One is more explosive than the other. One catches the ball a lot better than the other. But in this offense with what Todd Monken wants to do, I think he'll have a productive season. Now, the problem that I'm sort of having is the same problem that I'm having with Robert Woods. I'm not going to sit here and be hypocritical because I was sort of leery of Robert Woods when he came in. Why? Because of the knee injury. I said, you got to be careful. Everybody's, hoping that they're getting a guy from 2 years ago and he's just coming off a knee injury and it's not going to be the same, I'm telling you. And it wasn't the same. That's what I'm worried about with OBJ, him coming off that knee injury and how explosive is he going to be a year removed from a knee injury. But if he's able to stay on the field, I think from an explosive standpoint, he will have more of an impact than D-Hop because he's a down-the-field guy. He's a guy that can line up on the outside and beat you down the field. D-Hop is just a different guy. You put him in a slot, you can't, if you put him outside, he's not running too many deep balls. He's a short space catcher at this point of his career, and he's going to make those catches. That's why I say the best attribute right now for D-Hop is the red zone. He's a red zone threat. He's a legitimate threat. So if the Titans get inside that 10-yard line, you should be looking for D-Hop just about every time you throw the football because he's that type of guy. Well,
fantasy owners are salivating right now thinking about that because Derrick Henry's been really good in the red zone. A lot of read option the Titans have used in that red zone. Mm-hmm. So that from a fantasy perspective, I think that's something to look for is, you know, can they get creative down there and be efficient in the red zone? Because that's going to mean so much if you have a good year in the red zone, for especially an offense that may not be the most explosive. If you can be opportunistic and cash in, that makes a big difference in those close games.
Well, if you look at the Titans, the years that they were good, like the years that they were going to the AFC Championship, the year they went there, then the year they had, you know, the best record in AFC, they were one of the best teams, if not the best team in the red zone. They got to get back to that. They got to get back to scoring touchdowns and not kicking field goals. If they can get back to that, then we will see a different Tennessee Titans team from last season. If they still can't, if they can't produce in the red zone, now having Chigakonkwo another year, having D-Hop, having Treylon Burks, you're talking about big targets. If they can't compete and win in the red zone, it's still, no matter who they have on the team, it's going to be difficult for them to win.
So a lot of eyes will be paying attention to see if the Ravens have upgraded big time their passing attack in general, but specifically have they put better wide receivers around Lamar Jackson to even bring out more explosiveness.
I think they have.
So you know they can run. Yeah, that is going to be something. And the AFC is deep. That is something we know. We know there's going to be a lot of people vying for those spots. Can the Titans be in there? We're going to flip it and talk a little NFC when we come back. We're going to look at the San Francisco 49ers and their quarterback situation. And then at 1:30, we'll get back hot and heavy into the Titans today. But I want to ask D-Mace about what he thinks about the team that has got everything except do they have the quarterback play that could carry them over the top? 49ers are a very intriguing team. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about them next here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. And don't forget to tune in to our station, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, for weekly driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, one huge weekend event coming up in early August. Go to musiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event. It's August 4th through the 6th. So, D-Mace, we talked a little Ravens in the last segment. Let's look at the NFC. A team that I'm really intrigued with is the 49ers because, as I said this before, when the injury news came out on Brock Purdy, and I heard about possible Tommy John surgery. Me being a former pitcher, fortunately, I never had to have the Tommy John surgery. But we know for pitchers, it happens all the time, and guys come back, but it does take a long time. It takes about a year to recover. At first, it looked like Brock Purdy might have to miss the whole season, but now they say it's going to be okay. He is going to take the starter's reps, but as insurance, they brought in Sam Darnold. And they still got Trey Lance, who we had a lot of conversation about during the offseason.
Yes.
A guy they gave up a lot to go get. So what do you think? Can San Francisco get the quarterback play they need to get to the Super Bowl?
Can they get to the Super Bowl, or can they get the quarterback play that they need to get to the Super Bowl? Well, they've proven that, you know, as long as you don't mess up the game from the quarterback position, we can get to the Super Bowl because of
they're pretty set in most other places.
Absolutely. If you look around across the board, offensively and defensively, they are probably one of the most complete teams in the National Football League, top to bottom. If you're looking at their roster of 11 on 11, you know, here's my only concern. Well, two concerns with Brock Purdy. because I think he starts off as your starting quarterback, and rightfully so because of what he did toward the latter part of the season. I think Sam Darnold is there for insurance policy. Trey Lance is the one that's sort of fighting this uphill battle. But even with that, I think because of Trey Lance still under a rookie deal, Brock Purdy under a rookie deal, they can still keep three quarterbacks because they don't want to run into the same problem that they ran into last year where they didn't have no quarterback. But the only problem, two problems I have with Brock Purdy is, one, the elbow. Will it hold up? And then, two, and most importantly, we've seen this before. We've seen this script before, Willie, where a quarterback comes in, you know, the latter part of the season or in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden he has this great season, a really good season, and then, you know, either he gets a new contract or he gets named a starter, and then all of a sudden everything comes back down to earth. That's what I'm a little bit concerned with Brock Purdy. Now, he has too many weapons, I believe, to fall far, you know, but, you know, can he continue to play at the level he was playing at prior to him getting injured in the playoffs? Because to me, had he not gotten injured in the playoffs, I think San Fran wins that game, you know, and advances to the Super Bowl ultimately. But they didn't have a quarterback. So those are those are my two concerns. One, the elbow.
So you think if he hadn't gotten hurt, they could have won in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that game was close. That game wasn't, because once Brock Purdy went out and they didn't have any quarterbacks and Trey Lance, they were in a no-win situation. It was sad. Yeah,
I mean,
you knew exactly what they were going to do.
When Christian McCaffrey was putting the thing in his helmet to get mm-hmm. the play, you knew that this was just not ideal. They had so many, but Purdy is so important here because we know about his draft status. He was undersized, but only 8 games. Is that enough of a sample size? And are they going to figure him out a little bit more? I'm also curious if he struggles some, D-Mace, how much will they? Because you know how the fans are going to be, and the media will be saying, you know, is it time to put Trey Lance in there? Let's see what the guy can do. We gave up this, we gave up that to get him, and we've never really seen the guy play.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you wonder, like you said, can Brock Purdy continue to play the way he has been playing? Then Trey Lance, he's in a bad situation, Willie. It's just, you know, a former first-round draft pick, every time he's gotten an opportunity, sort of a slight opportunity, what has happened? He's gotten injured. You know, so I feel bad for him because he truly hasn't gotten an opportunity to really go out and show what he can do on a consistent basis. I know they will give him an opportunity to win the starting job, but as we sit now, it's Brock Purdy's to lose, I believe. You know, but the way this team is built, I just think that this team is built to win a championship. Now, will they win one? I don't know. But they're built from the offense to the defense to the head coach. This team is built to win a championship. But it's all, like you said, when we've discussed, it's all predicated on how well the quarterback position plays and how available they are.
Why do you think they brought in Sam Darnold?
For insurance policy. For insurance purposes, I believe that Sam Darnold is a good quarterback in this league. He can play another 10 years as a backup or, you know, sort of, you know, part-time starter and backup. But I think he was brought in, one, because, you know, he's a little bit older than the other two guys, just a tad bit. He's played in a lot more games than both of them combined. So he has that experience that you need at that quarterback position. And I think he's a guy that, put in the right environment from an offensive standpoint, he can win you games. So I think they brought him in because they believe he can play. But two, just in case those things that I'm sort of hesitant about, the elbow and him, getting back to that form, I think San Fran is sort of worried about that too. You know, if he can't reach that form that he was at prior to the injury, or if the injury or if he hasn't fully gotten over the injury, you want to be able to have a guy underneath center that has some experience and has some experience at winning games. And that's Sam Darnold.
All right. Let's end with a fantasy question on the 49ers. Are you a believer that Christian McCaffrey, because we know that they try to be smart with him, right? They don't want to give it to him too many times. But when they hit, when they did give it to him after the trade, he was very effective and efficient. So we know, too, that when you play a guy in the fantasy, you want him to get as many touches as possible here. So I'm curious how they use him. And are you a believer that McCaffrey would be a good fantasy pick this year?
I think he will. I think the way they use their running backs in San Francisco is a little bit different than other teams. They are not high volume guys. Last year, McCaffrey, I don't know how many games did he play with San Francisco?
He played 11 games.
Yeah, so
he played 11 games last year.
159 carries. That's not a huge workload if you're just looking at it. When you're talking about running backs, if you're talking Derrick Henry or Josh Jacobs or, you know, some of these other running backs that are leading rushers for their team, it's sort of the, 200 plus. Well, I don't think Christian McCaffrey, now he may get over 200 touches, but I think.
Let me rephrase that. He played 11 games with the 49ers.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying.
He did play the full 17, which was a really good sign, but. I think the key was they didn't overuse him that's why I was paying a little more attention to what the 49ers did with him. So that I'm really curious about him. I know a lot of fantasy owners will be paying closely. So he did play 17 games, 6 with Carolina, 11 with the 49ers, 1,139 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns. And then 85 catches for 741. So a really darn good year when you get down to it.
Yeah, and then they have, they have Elijah Mitchell there as well. He's a guy that, he didn't have a lot of carries last year, but he averaged over 6 yards per carry. He's another one of those versatile backs that San Fran has coveted, not just this year, but you go all the way back to Roger Craig and some of those teams, Ricky Waters. They always had that hybrid type of running back, and Elijah Mitchell and McCaffrey sort of falls in that category. So I think they're going to try to keep the both of their, obviously McCaffrey's going to get the bulk of the touches, whether it be from a passing standpoint or a running standpoint, but I think they're going to use both of their backs because they have to. Because you don't want to run those guys down come toward the end of the season.
When we come back, we'll get back into our Titans discussion. Today was the first day that Mike Vrabel talked to the media. He got questions from all around. Obviously, the main topic was the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, but there were some other things as well. So if you've got questions, if you got some things to react on based on what you heard from DeAndre or from Mike Vrabel today, let us hear it on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more next here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Is he a guy that's likely to not be a...
Yeah, I'm sure that there will be days where that he's not out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say he's going to be at every practice. There's other guys that will be in that same vein. He may do team periods, and, there were times where, Ben Jones or Jeff Simmons... came out and did team periods or came out or and did, individual work and didn't do the team periods. Just every day is something different. There's a plan that we go through each and every day with myself, with Frank, with Todd, communication with the player. So we're going to do it just like we've done it before.
Mike Vrabel earlier today, when asked about DeAndre Hopkins, how much is he going to practice? What's the plan for his preparation? And Mike Vrabel saying he's got a plan for every player every day. And he said there will be some days that he's not out there. But he noted many times during the press conference, his relationship goes way back with DeAndre Hopkins. He feels comfortable with him. He knows him well. And he said, look, if you want to be here, we want you here. And he said, well, I mean, he's here. So he was like, what signs? He said, well, he's here. And DeAndre Hopkins said that he's always admired Mike Vrabel because he's, quote, the first to congratulate you when you do something well, but also the first to point it out and criticize you constructively when you need to do better. So a lot of mutual respect, it seems like. And so, D-Mace, a lot of people will be wondering, is this Julio Jones part two? But I do think they're starting from a much better position. They know each other.
Yeah, I don't think this is Julio Jones 2.0 or an Andre Johnson 2.0. I think those guys were at different points of their careers. Those guys were much different than D-Hop. Those guys, you know, came in as burners, big physical guys that can run, that can catch the ball. D-Hop didn't come out, you know, with those sort of attributes in a sense. He wasn't known for his speed, you know, but he was known for, you know, the catch radius and being able to make those contested catches throughout a game and his quickness. And he's leaned on that throughout his career. So those things are not going to just all of a sudden leave you. Now, you may have to work in regards to the quickness. You may have to work a little bit harder. But, you know, he was never a speed guy, so don't expect him to be a speed guy moving forward. And then again, like I said, these, you know, if you're just talking about the three guys or if you want to add anybody else to the picture, they're, you know, D-Hop is in a different position or point in his career. He's still young. He still has some things to prove, and I think he's still hungry. Now, what will that amount to? I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, I don't think, you know, it's fair to sort of label him or brush him with the same brushes that you used with Andre Johnson or Julio Jones or Randy Moss or, you know, anybody other than, say, a Nate Washington, because Nate was highly productive here. But everybody else, they were not. But they were just at different points in their careers.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on what you heard from D-Hop today, what you heard from Mike Vrabel. If you've got Titans questions for D-Mace, we'd love to hear from you on our call or text line, 615-737-1025. So jump on in there. Will asked this, when it comes to Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins, another big theme that we have been centering in on a lot as we sort of looked in our crystal ball to wonder how this is going to work. Does a veteran in this situation help with skill honing and potential or games with skill honing and potential or game speed IQ more? What is more beneficial? The reason he asked, this is Will, I've never understood how a veteran football player can help grow a player, whereas I think it's more common in technique-heavy sports such as baseball, et cetera. Although, D-Mace, you're always quick to point out there's a lot more technique involved in wide receiver play than people realize.
Yeah, wide receiver isn't just running and catching a football. Just run downfield, turn around, button hook, and catch it. No, that's not football. There is technique to it. You know, how do you get off the line of scrimmage? How do you position yourself? Knowing where you're out on the field. How do you position your body in regards to catching the ball on the sideline? How do you position your body when you're versus, you know, double coverage or tight coverage? You know, where do you sit in zones? Do you run through the open hole in the zone? These are all the things that you got to know as a receiver. You got to be able to read and react because defense is more than likely. I say this all the time. What you see at the beginning, pre-snap, is not what you're going to get post-snap in regards to defenses. So you have to be able to read as you're running 100 miles per hour down the field. You got to be able to read the adjustments of the defenses. So he can help with that. He can help with, you know, picking up little things on film, you know, that he's been able to learn throughout his years in the NFL. That Treylon and these young wide receivers are just starting to figure out or you know or whatnot. So he's able to help from that aspect. You know, he's able to help from, you know, when he's on a practice field practicing, good practice habits. They're able to figure that out when they watch. a guy like D-Hop go to work. Because, again, I don't think he's the type of guy that when he's practicing, he's going, you know, basically half-assed. I think he's going 100 miles per hour when he's practicing. So those younger guys will learn from that. They will learn how do you truly, you know, watch film. What do I need to pick up while I'm watching film? You know, the receiver coach can help with that too, but it's always good to have a veteran guy in the locker room or in that room that has been through it, that you don't always have to go to the wide receiver coach to ask a question, because, you know, the wide receiver coach is there to help other guys, you know, get better as well. So he may not have all the time to answer every question that you have. So with that being said, you can lean back on the D-Hop when, say, the second unit's in and y'all are on the, you know, sitting on the sideline. You can go to D-Hop and say, hey, what did you see here? Did I make the right move? Did I use the right release? Or what other releases can I use in this situation? So those things can help. But like Vrabel said, ultimately it's up to Traylon. That's what it boils down to. It's up to him. And I think they're going to defer to D-Hop early on just to sort of allow Treylon Burks to work through it, you know, slowly. But once Treylon, you know, once they see that, okay, he's ready to go, he's picked up where, you know, sort of left off last season, then he's going to be the main focal point of that offense from a receiver standpoint.
Where they position both of them is something that people will be watching closely too. And today DeAndre Hopkins said that when he was asked about the slot, he goes, I think you can look back at the numbers and say, when I was working with Tim Kelly, I had huge numbers in the slot. He was quick to point that out. I was interested how he answered that question. And so that's maybe a preview of coming attractions. He did seem like he was very comfortable with Tim Kelly, even going back before Kelly was the play caller. It seemed like they had a good relationship building up to it. So he's known him for a long time. So it looks like there's a comfortable relationship starting point there.
Yeah, I think what he realizes is this. He's as he's starting to get older, he's more open to realizing that, hey, listen, I'm no longer what I used to be on the outside. But if you put me on the inside, if you motion me down, stack, bunch, situations like that, it gives me a better chance at getting open. And when I can put pressure on the defense from a short to intermediate range, that opens things up for the tight end. That opens things up for Treylon Burks down the field, because now people have to pay attention to what I'm doing from a slot standpoint. Now, he's referring back, you know, 6 years ago when, you know, I think it was about five, six years ago when he played slot under Tim Kelly. When I was a much younger D-Hop, you know, you're playing in the slot and you're much older, it's a little bit different. Would I like for him to be one of the most productive guys in the slot this season? Absolutely, because it helps the Titans. But I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I think he's going to do some work in the slot. But I think that, you know, a lot of his production is going to come inside the red zone. And it should, because, again, you throw the ball up to him 50-50, more than likely he's going to come to either throw a deep ball or a jump ball to him, more than likely he's going to come down with it.
When we come back, we'll hit on some non-DeAndre Hopkins topics that Mike Vrabel was asked about today, and we'll continue to take your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. Our call and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And remember, you can always watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We're back to wrap things up before we turn it over to Jared. Here on 102.5 The Game.
Who do you anticipate being in the running to be this team's opening day right tackle?
Well, Jamarco's worked over there the first couple days, you know, the early report guys. I think Andrew Rupchuk will play over there. I think Jalen will have a shot over there. I think OJ will have a chance over there, John. And so, you know, we'll kind of see where things go. And we'll find the best person there.
Vrabel earlier today talking about the right tackle situation. We know what the deal is. Nicholas Petit-Frere suspended for the first six games for gambling issues. He addressed that a little bit later. He's, you know, he gave the company line, or I guess his stock answer, I would call it, for Mike Vrabel. We all have to be responsible for our decisions that we make, et cetera. So here's the question, D-Mace, and I think this is what everybody will be asking. Is the opening day right tackle on the roster right now?
Man, that's a big question, Willie. Who's the opening day tackle, right tackle? Now, there's going to be, you know, several guys in the running. And, you know, he named out those guys, you know, whether it's Jamarco. I think that's who he said, Willie. OJ, Jalen.
Yeah. Jamarco Jones, I think, is who he says will be the – he's it sounded to me like he's going to get the first crack.
Yeah, he's going to get the first crack. And he was originally, you know, slated as their right guard. But obviously they feel that they're – you know, they feel sort of good about him in regards to pushing him out to right tackle and seeing how that works out. But then they got several other guys that they can, you know, put out at right tackle and see how that goes. So, you know, because the question was brought up, you know, you brought in Fant for a workout this weekend and you still haven't signed another right tackle. Well, he's going to, and we mentioned this yesterday, Willie, his thought process might be, let me see about the guys in-house first. Let me see if these guys can really, because these are guys that's on the team already, that knows the offense. Let's see if these guys can win the job until Nicholas come back. And he spoke highly of Nicholas, too. He said Nicholas came back. He looked great. He's in really good shape. They're going to, you know, use him some in practice in 2 days. So I think he believes that, you know, they wouldn't be in this position looking for a right tackle had Nicholas not got suspended, because they believed in Nicholas. But since he's not going to play the first six games, they have to give these other guys an opportunity to win that job, to be able to hold it down until Nicholas come back.
He said Peter Skoronski improved a lot during the spring. He likes how he looks, but it does look like guard is in the works for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't rule out moving him around a lot, but it does look like, you know, he stopped short of saying, I think the question was, are you locked in at guard and center? It definitely looks like Aaron Brewer is going to be the center. He's got a lot of respect for Aaron Brewer. You know, one of the things that he went into detail on during that extensive interview he did on the Bussing with the Boys, and Taylor Lewan was hitting with a lot of offensive lineman lingo, you know, but he mentioned the respect he has for Aaron Brewer's ability, because he said Ben Jones was so special at knowing what everybody was supposed to do. He knew all the defensive fronts and he led in a certain way, but he basically said, look, I've really learned to respect Aaron Brewer. He's going to lead in a different way, but he's really good at getting people to get on the same page, because that's a huge responsibility of the center. So I think he's going to be the center for sure. The question is, are they locked in at both guard positions?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. But if they can get good play out of Jamarco Jones, who they're going to give the first crack to at right tackle, then, you know, you don't have to worry about those, you know, you don't have to necessarily worry about moving guys from other positions. If Jamarco Jones solidifies that he can, you know, hold on to that position until Nicholas come back, now you can leave Skoronski, you know, at guard and play, I believe, is his true position. Then you can take, you know, whether it's having Jordan Roos at right guard, or, you know, someone else you may deem fits that position better, Corey Levin, somebody like that. But even Corey Levin, he's more of a center in their minds. But if you can solidify that right tackle job, at least for the first 6 weeks of the season, you know, I think it makes everyone else's job a little bit easier, because now I just got to hone in on the position that I'm playing. Not to say that I'm not learning what everybody's doing, but I can truly focus on just playing guard at this particular moment.
One other thing I thought was newsworthy during the Vrabel press conference was Hassan Haskins. He is there at practice. He's going to be there. But Vrabel was very careful how he answered the question about the off-field incidents that went on that are still, I guess, out there and pending. He said, we are very sensitive to issues like that. But he said, we're still waiting to get all the facts. There is a process going on right now. But in the meantime, Haskins is there every day. And again, I think Mike Vrabel seems to fall back on, he has a strong relationship with pretty much all of his players. And so he was asked if the situation were awkward. He says awkward's not the right word. They're very aware of what's happening with him. But he's allowed to do his job, I guess. So we're all curious of what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I don't think it's awkward in a sense. It's just, you know in the back of your mind that something can happen, you know, moving forward with Hassan Haskins. But he's just allowing the legal process to play itself out. And, you know, I mean, they know more than we know. So by Vrabel and Rand Carthon and Amy, you know, still, you know, him still being on the team and still out on the practice field with the team, that tells me they know a little bit more or a lot more than what we know. And it may not be what, you know, what we read initially. It may be, you know, some other things that are going on. Or did go on at that particular time, so they feel confident at this point that having him on the team and out at practice, you know, is the best thing. But like you said, things can change, and you move delicately with this process, and you just allow, you know, those that be, the powers that be, to do their job. And once they've determined, you know, the situation and what happened, truly what happened, then they're going to make their determination whether charges are being brought against them or not.
Great first day. We're off and running here as Titans training camp gets cranking up. We'll have our first show out on the grounds tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. Of course, we'll be extensively out there whenever we can, along with the national media. This week we're out there Wednesday and Friday. Caroline will be back with us on Thursday, so an excellent show to get it cranking here. What do you got, D-Mate?
And then I didn't know UC got married, man. God, congratulations to Soros.
Juice?
Yeah,
he's got married. Man.
I saw that on Twitter, on the Predators Twitter.
Yes,
so congratulations
indeed.
To UC. That's another reason y'all need not to trade him or let him go. Sign him to
he
a huge
the roots
deal.
Down.
Exactly. Yeah. He done put the roots down. Sign that man to a huge deal.
Good for Juice. All right. Jared Stillman coming up. So Stillman and Company, make sure you stay tuned with that. I know Jared will have his thoughts. He was out at the press conferences today. So we are out of here. We're back with you tomorrow here on 102.5 The Game.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.